Welcome in. It is a weekend edition of Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 3 o'clock today. If you'd like to chime in at any point, feel free. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. We'd like to get your guys' thoughts on the two big topics in town. We'll spend about half the show on each. The Nationals, they are struggling a bit going into the trade deadline coming up on Monday. What should the Nationals do? We'll get into that in the back half of the show. Jeff Passan, Kylie McDaniel of ESPN just put out an updated version of their top 100 candidates at the trade deadline coming up in just a couple of days. And there's a couple of Nationals prominently displayed, so we'll get into that and talk about what the Nats should do there. But got to start with training camp. Was out there this morning, got a chance to watch the third practice, first one with fans. And let me tell you, great turnout, fans everywhere. It was fun to see just the long line to get into the facility and all the fans getting to interact with the various players and seeing Terry signing autographs. I posted a video on my Twitter of Terry signing autographs for the fans, and it's easy to see why Terry's a fan favorite. Obviously, the productivity he's had throughout his career, last year a down year, but spent so much time embracing the fan base, signing autographs for regular fans, going over to, there's a little kids area where kids can kind of ask for autographs, and they know where they can kind of corral all the kids to, and obviously Terry's going to go over to that section as well. So, pretty cool to see Terry interacting with all the fans out there in Ashburn, other players signing autographs, Frankie Luvu, Tim Settle, Bill, Chigakonkwo, I think Jaden stopped at one point as well. So, pretty cool to see all the players interacting with the fans, and I think it always adds a little bit of juice to training camp. I mean, you think about the competitors that all these guys are. It's still just the third practice of training camp. Haven't had the first padded practice yet. That's going to come up on Monday, so good time for the guys to rest up tomorrow, make sure that they recharge the batteries, come ready, because 8:30 on Monday morning, they're going to be going at it again with pads on at practice in Ashburn, so that'll be an exciting practice to break down and be at and see, you know, what the guys look like, because I think that's the first time you can get a real sense on some other areas. I think you can get an idea of what you can see from guys in terms of routes and different things, but once the pads come on, then you get an idea of the run game and the rush and some of the other things, and it's still a practice environment, but you get a little bit more of an idea. So I'm excited to see what happens on Monday. But a couple of things real quick before we get into some of my takeaways from practice today. Saw and heard from Dan Quinn earlier today. John Bates is going to miss some time. He's going to miss a couple of weeks, and that's kind of tough for John Bates, but he's also established himself. You kind of know what he's going to be. So I don't know that it's as big a deal for Bates. I think learning the new offense, you'd like to have everybody available at all times. I get that. But doesn't sound like something that they're overly worried about, dealing with a strained hamstring, couple of week time frame for him to come back. But I think it opens up a big opportunity for Ben Sinnott. I want to talk a little bit about him because I thought he had some plays today, and I actually think he's been someone that stood out through the first three practices of training camp. So curious to see if that continues on. But, you know, Bates is going to miss some time. Allegretti has a strained calf, and we knew that he could miss the next week, according to Dan Quinn and John Keim, given the report from Dan Quinn. So if that's going to be the case, that's a lot more Julian Good-Jones. That gives an opportunity for Matt Golbin still. I'd love to see them figure out what's going to happen at that center position. Hopefully it's something that Allegretti is back as soon as possible, and we kind of forget that they didn't address that center position behind Allegretti, but that's something we'll have to monitor, and it was good to see Treylon Burks out at practice once again today. So that's just an update for injuries. Luckily, the Commanders haven't had anything major. I'm seeing plenty of other people around the league dealing with some injuries already. You see one today for the Chiefs, one of their rookies, Cyrus Allen, and Kyrie Elam had a bit of a collision. And that led to the one of the guys being a little bit banged up. So luckily, it seems like through the first 3 days of practice out there, the Commanders have avoided major injury, although they've had a couple of soft tissue injuries. And hopefully you can get Dorrance Armstrong back soon. He looks good from the bits I've seen him walking around the practice field and those sorts of things. So I hope he can be back soon. Trey Amos as well. Hopefully he can get back out on the practice field as well. But we'll see about those. Let's talk about the guys that were on the field today for the Commanders. I thought this was the best day for the offense. And frankly, the first two practices weren't very sharp from the offense, but kind of to be expected. When you factor in that I think the most difficult portion of the field to move the football and to be great on offense is down in the red zone condensed areas. I mean, just think about when you're talking about a inside the 20 type of scenario, you run a clear out route in the middle of the field, you can truly clear people out. You can only clear people out so much when you're working inside that condensed space. And so for the Commanders and working inside the red zone, so much of red zone periods for the offense is about that rhythm and timing. And it's not to say if you're snapping the ball to 50, that rhythm and timing doesn't matter, but there's a little more room for leeway versus everything being a little bit closer down inside the red zone. If you don't have that rhythm and timing, then it can look a little bit worse than maybe it actually is. And I think it's the beginning of training camp, so there's going to be some growing pains. It's a new scheme on both sides of the football, but I think it's going to take a little bit more time to understand everything and get everything installed correctly on the offensive side. I also saw something interesting that they said that, I have to see who said it. I forget which player had mentioned it, but basically that they're kind of throwing everything at the wall. Maybe it was Dan Quinn had mentioned it, or Durante Jones. I'm not sure. I'll see if I can find the quote. But basically saying that they were going to throw a bunch of different things and see what happens. And, okay, so this was actually Dan Quinn. This is from Ben Standig. He wrote that the new offense and defense remain works in progress. Quinn said installing David Blau's offense and Durante Jones' defense will take several weeks, with both coordinators working through an 11 to 12 day installation schedule before trimming the playbooks to what best fits the roster. So I think that's some of this as well, is you're going through all of these, and this is what practice is for, right? If you're not able to do something, you might as well try to get it out in practice and try to figure out what you can and can't do. That's what practice is for. Find those limits. Limitations, find where that breaking point is and make sure that you're able to still be successful, and the stuff that doesn't work, get it out of the playbook, get it out of the call sheet, right? So that's some of what they're going to do. They're going to cater it to their personnel. But I think that's interesting, and something to note is through the, essentially these first 2 weeks of training camp, there are going to be moments where you might hear, well, the offense struggled. Well, they're probably putting in stuff still that stuff may not be in the playbook come week one. Same thing for the defense. Well, they might struggle. And so far, the defense has been better 2 of the 3 days. I would say today was probably more of a stalemate. I think there were some good defensive plays. I think there were some good offensive plays. I think the defense, the nice part that I've seen through the first 3 days, and even going into the day where they weren't, you know, as dominant as they were the first 2 days, they don't allow anything big down the field. I haven't seen any explosive, you know, 50-yard touchdown plays or anything of that nature yet. So that'll be something to see as time goes on, if, you know, the offense can maybe add some of those things. But even the defense, if they were giving stuff up, it wasn't necessarily always going to be down the field. So that's something that I think they've done a pretty good job of defensively through the first couple of days of camp. But I thought the offense looked much better today. Jaden Daniels looked much more comfortable today. There's still some things that they've got to work through, where they've got to get the ball out on time a little bit better and a little more constantly. And as practice went on, I think you've seen this through the first two practices. I'm sure fans felt this as well, being out there today. First two practices for Jaden. First practice, he struggled. Second practice, struggled at the beginning, got better as the day went on. And I think that was kind of the same thing once again out there in Ashburn today, where wasn't his best stuff necessarily at the start, but by the end of practice, he looked pretty good. And there were a couple of plays in there today, some really nice throws. Van Jefferson with a couple of them. He drew Adafe Owe offsides on a hard count at one point, was able to get a free play, found Jefferson down the field in a 7-on-7 period. I thought there was a nice play design where a DB got drawn up to a crosser underneath, and then he found the guy in behind, and that was Van Jefferson once again. So I think Jaden Daniels looked much more like the Jaden that we're used to seeing out there on the practice field. And honestly, that's something yesterday I'd mentioned this on Grant and Danny sitting in for Danny, that, you know, Jaden hadn't been his sharpest in the first couple of practices. And it's almost a situation where Jaden's a victim of being so good in practice that when his standard isn't met, that you're like, what the heck is wrong, right? Jaden generally is fantastic during practice. So even a mediocre day or a average day for like the average quarterback would look like a down day for Jaden Daniels because he's generally just so fantastic. And I thought he looked more like himself out there today. I think even getting the edge on some scrambles and different things. Like, he looks comfortable, and I think there's still a lot of room to grow on the offensive side of the ball for this team, but I really liked what I saw out of the offense today compared to what I saw the first 2 days. Another thing, I'm going to keep pounding the drum for this guy, and we'll see what happens, and I think that he's going to have a big season. The big thing is ball security, and that's Bill. We talked about this with Thursday's practice, that there was a period where Bill got the ball outside, Mikey punched it out. It's something that maybe it's after the whistle. There's not tons of contact going on, obviously, when you don't have pads on. But Mikey kind of does that all the time. Like, he's always punching at the ball just to work on it for himself, but also to test the ball security of guys. Can't have Bill putting it on the turf there, whether it's after the whistle or not. I don't know. But regardless, he can't fumble the football. That's like the number one thing. But I think overall, everything else about Bill, I think, screams that he's going to have a spectacular season. I think this run scheme fits him perfectly. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him to show off that incredible vision that we saw last season at times, where there could be a hole open on the backside and you cut it back and all of a sudden here's a massive hole to run through and you can get into that second and maybe third level. And that burst that he has, I think, is so evident every time you watch him run the football. And I think getting him outside as well, he's going to have an opportunity to get around the edge and do different things. And he was fantastic last season on runs outside. That was really his specialty. In between the tackles, he wasn't as great. And that's why I think this room actually works in the Commanders' favor. And you're actually going to hear from Rashad White. I caught up with him at practice on Thursday. We'll play that interview for you in just a little bit. But I think one thing that you find out watching this offense and with this running back room, they have diversified skill sets. Bill, I think he fits perfectly with that outside zone type of run scheme. He talked about wanting to improve his hands. I actually thought today he had a couple of really nice catches out of the backfield. He had one that was a little bit low, was able to scoop it up. He had a swing pass where got out on the right side and actually had a little bit of a collision with Nick Cross. But I thought overall, you know, Bill's hands looked pretty good today, so that was nice to see. And if he's able to improve some of those things and be better in pass protection and those sorts of things, I think you could see him really, really take off this season. Just to give you a couple of numbers real quick too on Bill, last season on 106 attempts inside the tackles, he averaged 3.4 a pop for 365 yards rushing. On rushes outside the tackles in 69 attempts, 440 yards rushing, that's 6.4 a pop. And so maybe he's not the bell cow necessarily. Maybe he has to work in tandem with someone else like a Catron Allen or a Rashad White, a guy that can run in between the tackles. But when you get him outside, that's where he really shines. And I think that's what he's going to be able to do this season. So I'm excited to see him. But you talk about those complementary pieces. Rashad White's really good at catching the ball out of the backfield. You've got Catron Allen, Fat Man, who I'm curious to see what he's going to look like with the pads coming on. I think he's someone that's going to be fun to watch because maybe you can't appreciate him fully in practices like we've seen to this point where the pads aren't on. But when he gets the football and there's actual football going on and he can rely on that contact balance that he has, that's when I think he's going to shine. So I think he'll be fun to watch and see what kind of juice he can add to this offense, because Chris Rodriguez wasn't a major contributor, I would say, overall to this offense. Like, if, you know, Chris Rodriguez had a good day, it didn't necessarily guarantee that the Commanders were going to win the football game or anything. I think he was someone that helped this team out, but I wouldn't say that he was a major key factor for this offense. But he did play a role, there's no question about it, and he's gone to Jacksonville. I think that Catron Allen has some shoes to fill there, maybe not big shoes to fill, but I think there's something to be said that that style of running back is needed in offenses when you need short yardage, when you get down to the goal line, someone that can power ahead and give you some of that extra juice that you need. I'm curious to see if he steps into that role. Jeremy McNichols, who ends up being that fourth guy, or do they keep four running backs? How do they go about that? So I think that room's going to be interesting. But a couple of more takeaways I'll give you next. I want to talk about what I saw out in Ashburn today. Also have some interviews caught up with Rashad White, caught up with Akello Witherspoon. We'll play those interviews for you. Also want to talk about the new schemes. When you factor in that there's a new coordinator on both sides of the football, is that a positive going into the season where you don't necessarily have tape to get ready for the Commanders? Or is it potentially something that maybe they get off to a slow start because this team is still working in a new scheme? We'll talk about that as well. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to chime in. Toby Altizer with you till 3 o'clock here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 3 o'clock, talking about training camp. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Insulation, paulhenrywindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. One of the things that has made this training camp very interesting is there's new schemes on both sides of the ball. So, you know, last year you go in and you had an idea what Cliff's offense was going to look like. You had an idea of what Joe Witt's defense was going to look like. I had an idea of what David Blau's offense would be, but I'd never seen it. And I had an idea of what Durante Jones' defense was going to be, but I hadn't seen it. So now through 3 days, you're starting to get a little bit of a feel of what's going to happen, and you can see some of the similarities on defense to what Brian Flores likes to run with his own little twist on things. You can see a little bit of the Ben Johnson style from David Blau's offense and some of the different things that he's taken from there, or whether it's a Shanahan or a McVay, and his shifts and motions under center, all the key buzzwords and everything. It's fun to see all of that stuff start to play out, and you're seeing the difference that it can make in terms of how it can put a defense in a bad position, or on vice versa for the defense, kind of cause an offense some confusion and get free blitzers at times. So it's fun to see both of these schemes. But Dan Quinn was asked before practice about, does he give some more time on some of these things? So I think this is an interesting aspect about this season, is both sides of the football are learning a new scheme, and that can be an advantage early in the season, and that teams won't know what your bread and butter is, what you want to go to yet. At the same point, it can be a negative. If you're not fully ready to go and you're still trying to learn things and you're not up to speed yet, and here comes week one. So I think that's an interesting thing that we're going to have to watch as training camp goes on. But here was Dan Quinn earlier today talking about both sides of the ball learning a new scheme.
When you're installing two new systems, do you structure film study, you know, walkthroughs, practices any differently, giving guys more time here and there? How do you kind of evaluate how they're learning?
Not more time, but certainly teach backs. If you really want to test someone's learning, you have to ask the questions and explain them back to them. Like, think of all of us in school, like somebody was teaching or lecturing, and like, okay, did they take this information in? And so that's really what we want to do. You think of like crawl, walk, run. The crawl part is like the meetings, and then in the evenings, walkthroughs, and then out to practice. So those three steps are a big one. We try to put some things in some buckets that mean something. So these T words mean this, these, you know, D words mean this. So we try to find common themes for the teaching. But if you really want to know it, you have to have the player teach it back to have a real understanding.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be something to watch, right? Like, both sides have to figure stuff out and make sure that they're on the same page in all of these things, and that's something that takes a little bit of time. It's not rocket science, but it's also not the easiest thing in the world to learn a new system, and they've been working at it all summer long. So it's not like they just got handed their playbook in day one of training camp and say, hey, figure it out. But it is something, like Dan Quinn said, where it's one thing to watch it on film. It's another thing to go through it in a walkthrough. And then it's a whole different ballgame to try to apply it against a live defense when you're facing even just a team in practice like your own team, and you're not padded or anything, but you're just going out there and trying to execute. It's one thing to try to do that, but then it's even another when the Miami Dolphins come in for a joint practice or for an actual preseason game, and then it all gets underway with week one in Philadelphia, right? So it is something to be said that they are still trying to figure the schemes out, and they're both first-time NFL coordinators for David Blough. This is the first time he's been calling plays, by all accounts. He's incredibly sharp. I don't think you necessarily just have it right away. I think there's going to be some growing pains at some point for David Blough, and hopefully it's not that big a growing pains. But I do think that even the sharpest minds across sports, when you take over a new role that you haven't necessarily done before, there can be some growing pains. There can be some things that you have to adjust to. There's a little bit of a period there where you're still trying to figure stuff out. Unfortunately for Washington, they start with a gauntlet of a schedule. So hopefully it's something that they are ready to roll in week one. But Durante Jones at least has some experience calling plays before, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Frankly, his defense is kind of what I would prefer to run. It's something that is more aggressive, something that this idea that people have kind of thrown this out about football the last couple of years because of the rule changes and various things that they make it sound like in order to play defense in the NFL, you have to be passive and you just kind of let the offense implode to an extent, but they're going to be able to do different things and we just have to hope and pray that when it comes time, we can stop them down in the red zone. And I hate that idea. I hate that. That just seems so passive and loserish on defense. It's not to say that you can't get by doing some things and you could be limited by your personnel and different things. I get that. But there also can be a way where you force the offense's hand, where you make them have to adjust to what you're doing, where you make them have to keep that guy in as an extra blocker. And now I don't have to worry about covering the tight end because, you know, I've got so many blitzers that if you don't pick them up, I'm going to get to the quarterback that quick. There are different ways to do defensive football than just sitting back and praying that once you get down to the red zone, you can hold them to 3 instead of 7. And with Durante Jones and specifically that Brian Flores type of scheme, they like to play more aggressive. And I like that he's going to be able to do that. Talked with Akello Witherspoon about that a little bit. He's a new cornerback for Washington, came over. It's his 10th season in the league. He spent time with a couple of different organizations. He comes over from the Rams after he spent 3 years there. He spent 2 years in Pittsburgh, started his career with 4 seasons in San Francisco, but had a chance to catch up with him. Here was my conversation with the new Commanders cornerback, Akello Witherspoon, after Thursday's practice.
Toby Altizer here with Commanders cornerback Akello Witherspoon after the second day of training camp practice. How do you feel so far? Defense looks like it's flying around.
Feels good, man. Just running around, communicating, making plays. Couldn't ask for much more within the first 2 days.
You've been in a couple different defenses. What sets this defense apart from what you've seen so far?
I think just the variation. Throwing a lot at coordinators, quarterbacks, making them think and decide, kind of choose what we're in and kind of give ourselves an opportunity to confuse the offense.
Yeah, how does that work for a DB? Does that put a little more on your plate? Does that help you out with some of the varied fronts? How does that play out for a DB?
For me, it's just the most fun form of football. Like, it's just so much variation in my technique that I think it's fun because you're not only are you challenged by different techniques or different approaches or eyes on a certain dude, but you know that it's giving you an opportunity to make more plays instead of just being pressed, eyes on the man all game. So it's just fun, a fun way to play football.
I know it's just still early in camp, but from some of the offseason and the first couple of days, who stood out to you in that DB room that maybe you weren't expecting to stand out, or somebody that's looked really good through a couple of days?
Yeah, no, one through 20, however many DBs there are, every single one of them has stood out to me.
So when you look at the offense too, it's, you know, it feels like the defense has been the winner of the first couple of days of training camp. But what have you made of what you've seen from Jaden Daniels and David Blough's new offense?
Honestly, I haven't made anything. I don't really have an answer in terms of what I've seen from them. I'm just focused on getting better. Our defense getting better. We've been playing well. And just taking the success the same way that I take failure, which is just stay steady, tend to your own grass, and keep competing.
What made Washington attractive as a destination for you this offseason?
I think just an opportunity to come in and compete around a good group of guys. I think this is an organization that does a good job bringing in good people, and that's something that I gravitate to. I want to be around good men when I come to work that also enjoy being good as hell at football. So that's really the biggest thing for me.
I mean, so many people talk about how positive it is being around Dan Quinn. What has your interactions been just with him this offseason and being around in training camp now?
Yeah, same for me. Just positive person, positive human, great leader. Lets everybody be themselves. and as a human, as a player, that's really all you can ask for.
What are some goals for yourself this season?
Just be my best. Be my best that I've ever been.
Well, good luck this season, and I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you.
That's Commanders cornerback Akello Witherspoon. I think you heard in his answer there early on that this style of defense is fun for the guys to play. Like I said, it's one of those types of defenses where you get to force the issue versus I'm just sitting back here hoping that we don't get beat. I get to force the issue. And I think, of course, that's going to be fun for a DB because that could create opportunities where the quarterback panics and puts the ball in harm's way and you can go make a play. And so I think that's going to be exciting to watch. Had a chance to catch up with a running back. So I want to talk about the offensive scheme with Rashad White. You'll hear that conversation next. And want to get into that discussion about the schemes. Do you think there's a chance that maybe one of them could get off to a slow start? If so, are you a little bit worried about that? Which side of the ball would you be more worried about that? Or do you think that this is just a big-time step forward from what we saw last season, going from Cliff Kingsbury to David Blau's scheme and going from Joe Witt and Dan Quinn's scheme last season to what Durante Jones is going to run? What do you make of that? And are you a little bit worried that maybe they could get off to a slow start on either side of the football because they're learning a new scheme? 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you on Overtime on the Fan. Welcome back, Overtime 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you talking about Commanders training camp. We'll talk a little Nationals baseball in a bit, but if you'd like to hop in, 800-636-1067 is the number to call in. We're talking about the new schemes on each side of the football. Are you a little worried that either side might get off to a slow start, or are you confident that these new schemes are going to give Washington a chance to be more competitive than they were last season? Training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We'll hear from Rashad White in just a moment, but I thought it was cool before practice today, Dan Quinn, Mark Klaus, the team president, addressing the fans and announcing, too, that John Riggins, he's going to be a part of the preseason broadcast, so you're going to have Dan Helly doing the play-by-play with our own Brian Mitchell and John Riggins, and Brian Colbert will be on the sideline. But how about that? Riggo and B-Mitch in the booth for the Commanders preseason game. So I can tell you this much. Normally, you get to a certain point in preseason games where it's like, is it really worth watching? It at least be worth listening to at the end of preseason games with those guys, with Riggo. It's going to be a lot of fun. So going to be cool to have the legend, John Riggins, in the booth, as well as getting honored this season by having his number retired. So good to see him back. He was out at practice today. Darryl Green was out at practice today. So pretty cool to see some living legends walking around in Ashburn today at Commanders practice. But one of the things that I've really enjoyed seeing is the new schemes on both sides of the football. And for the offensive side, you can see how they're going to create havoc for the defense. And it just forces communication. And the beauty of doing what they're doing is you're going to make them communicate on defense, whether it's a shift or a motion or a guy lined up in an unusual spot, whatever it is. They're going to force the defense to communicate and sometimes even show their hand. Because if you have someone like Chigakonkwo lined up out wide, or you're moving tight ends all over the place, or receivers are motioning and all sorts of things, it forces you to show your hand a little bit as a defense. And that's kind of the whole point, is to help the quarterback out by just giving them subtle tells, as well as making it so that the defense has to think. And how many times have you seen against Washington over the years where a shift or a motion or something happens that forces communication and there isn't that communication, or people aren't fully on the same page, and all of a sudden here's a guy running free with 20 yards of open space down the field and he's able to be found by the quarterback for a touchdown? I've seen that plenty of times. I think back to the Del Rio days. There was a busted coverage. It felt like at least once a game, it was just, was it going to be the backbreaker that day or not? And this defense is, or this offensive scheme is going to give you an opportunity to create some of those things where maybe you get a free one because they might miscommunicate. And it's not to say that you can bank on that, but it's just giving more clues to Jaden Daniels to make the right decision on where to go with the football. And I think that's a good thing. So I'm excited to see what this offensive scheme can bring. I asked Rashad White a little bit about that and some of what that running back room can bring to the offense. Here was my conversation with new Commanders running back Rashad White after day two of practice out in Ashburn on Thursday.
Toby Altizer here with Commanders running back Rashad White. Rashad, this is your first year here with the team, but you obviously have some connections with Jaden Daniels. What's it been like getting back with him?
Been good. It's been good. I mean, it's just been good to get out here in general with the whole team, the whole group of guys, and, you know, getting after it. But, yeah, for sure, it's, you know, a pleasure playing with my boy.
What have you thought about this offense with David Blau in the first couple of training camp practices?
I think really highly of it. I think DB, David Blau, he got a great mind. He's very intelligent, very smart, highly respected, you know, been around coaching-wise and then, you know, under a lot of good people, a lot of good coaches. And then I played years in this league as a quarterback, so in college and his whole life. So it's an honor.
What do you make of your running back room? There's kind of some diversified skill sets. You're obviously a really good pass catcher. Bill, I think, is going to look really good in this outside zone type of scheme. What do you make of that room?
I think everybody is good in the room. You know, it's a lot of competitors in there. We all push each other. Like you said, we all got different styles, different you know, terms of game and terms of play. But I think that's what makes us make it all come together well.
What are some of the expectations that you guys in the locker room have for this team this season?
I mean, we're trying to win. So, I mean, obviously that's the biggest thing. We want to win. And so we want to go out there every Sunday and make sure we do everything we can during the week and during this training camp and things like that, regardless of whatever it is, preseason, whatever, to give ourselves the edge and the best possibility to win. So we want to win.
I feel like we've seen the defense flying around the first couple of days of training camp here. What have you made of what you've seen from that? It's a new scheme coming over here. Obviously, you weren't here last season, but yeah. What have you seen from Durante Jones and that new defense?
It's a lot of different looks, a lot of different things. Obviously, you know, Durante, he come from Minnesota, things like that. I mean, I think I played against Brian Forrest, but I'm my fifth year now, so I played against him probably like 2 to 3 times or so. So he comes over, brings a lot of, you know, good things over here, his own little twist and wrinkles to it. And like you said, we got a bunch of athletic guys and good solid size guys on that defense who can fly around, so it's going to be fun to watch them.
Last thing, what are you most excited to bring to this offense this season personally?
I mean, the most thing I'm excited to just bring is be a playmaker. You know, I feel like it's not a thing on the field that I can't do. And so, obviously, I feel like they wanted me here for a reason. I feel like I'm, you know, I got skill set in every aspect of the game as a running back. And so I'm just excited to bring, you know, that and some juice.
Appreciate the time, man. Best of luck the rest of training camp.
Thanks. Appreciate you, bro.
That's Rashad White, and he's going to be a big part of the offense this year, and I'm excited to see what he can bring to this team as a pass catcher, as a running back that kind of works in tandem with Bill, and I'm curious to see how that's kind of split up. I think there's a lot of questions still on some of the position groups across the team and how they're going to use the guys and the play time that they're going to get. I think running back fits into there, receiver fits into there, corner fits into there, linebacker fits into there as well. And it's not that they don't have guys at those various positions, but I am curious to see how everything gets kind of split up. And at the running back position, is Bill getting most of the carries? Is Rashad White the third down back? Or is Katron Allen getting all of the work on short yardage and down at the goal line? Like, what does it look like, and how do they split that up? I think that's going to be interesting to see. All right, let's open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. We've been talking about the schemes. You heard a little bit from a guy on offense, on offense with Rashad White, a guy on defense, Akella Witherspoon, talking about the various schemes and what they're excited to see accomplished this season in the new schemes. What do you guys make of the new schemes? Do you like what you've seen or what you've heard? Some of the fans that are out there today, I'd love to hear from you with what you saw out at practice today. If you had a chance to call in and had a chance to get out of practice today, 800-636-1067. But also, just from the various reports that you've heard. First couple of days, you saw the tweet from Nikki Javala saying that her takeaway from the first couple of days of training training camp or that Stephon Diggs gif. So you can take that to mean whatever you'd like it to mean. So do you think that maybe there needs to be some work done at the receiver position and there needs to be some competition added there? And what do you make of what you've heard about the defense flying around? Again, 800-636-1067. I'll give you some more of my takeaways from what I've seen from the various schemes through 3 days of practice. But I also want to hear from you guys. We'll get into some Nationals talk coming up around 1:30. Until then, we'll chat with you guys. We're talking Commanders training camp here on The Fan. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan, Toby Altizer with you. 800-636-1067 is the phone number to call if you'd like to talk about the Commanders. We'll get into some Nationals baseball on this back half of the show, around 1:30 or so, get into what the Nats should do ahead of the trade deadline. They're scuffling a bit going into the deadline. Big opportunity for them to get back in the win column today once again against the Atlanta Braves. And this is the last couple of games before Monday's trade deadline, so this is the last couple of times they'll take the field to inform Paul Toboni's decision. What do you think they should do? We'll get into that around 1:30. But continuing to talk about Commanders training camp, which is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. And I like what I've seen from this team so far in training camp in terms of it feels like the intensity this year is better than what we saw last season. That's something that I've talked about with B-Mitch. I've talked about it with Grant, Danny, JP. Whenever I've had a chance to fill in, it's something that's been brought up. And B-Mitch has kind of been leading the charge on this as well, that there had to be something changed about the way that this team prepared for this season. When you look at the beginning of the schedule for Washington, it ain't easy. And I think sometimes the idea of strength of schedule and various things across the National Football League is a little bit overblown and a little bit over-talked about at times. Yes, sometimes you can run into a gauntlet, but yeah, that can happen and change year to year, and also you're playing in the National Football League. Do you think you were going to play Eastern Tennessee State? Like that's not what happens in the NFL. You're playing in a professional league. You're going to run into a schedule where sometimes it's going to be difficult. And as difficult as the beginning of the schedule is for Washington, it lightens up on the back half. But this gauntlet of a schedule to start the season is something that they have to be ready for. You can't come out of the gates limping, or you could have your season finished on road to your bye week. So if you were to get off to a slow start, well, Philadelphia, I don't know that you feel great about winning that one on the road at the Link. I don't know that you feel great about beating Dallas if you're still not out of a rut. And then, by the way, here come the defending Super Bowl champions for your home opener. And, oh, okay, so now you're starting to get a rhythm. Go to London for week four against Indianapolis, which is your easiest game of those four, probably. But it's in London, so that adds in the crazy travel and all that. And then, finally, you'd say, here's our most normal week. But, again, you're traveling back from London, and you're playing the New York Giants. And then you go out to San Francisco on a Monday night, so at least you get the extra day as you travel across the country. But you go out to San Francisco, and then you finally get the bye after Monday Night Football. But that is a rough start to the season, and so they have to be ready to go. Jaden Daniels was not as sharp last season as we had seen him in his rookie year, even when he was on the football field. I get that the injuries derailed a lot of the season, and I'm not claiming that those didn't play a role in some of the stuff, but you know, he was healthy to start the season, and he didn't look particularly great in week one, wasn't particularly great in the short week going into Green Bay. It's not like it was only Jaden's faults, but he was, you know, he's still the quarterback. He's still out there. I didn't think he looked particularly great. I still believe in him. Again, I go back to part of the reason that I'm so sold on Jaden and will continue to be until I have to be told otherwise, if that ever gets to that point. I don't think that I will. Is I saw him exhibit an ability to play at a level that there's only four or five guys in the league that can play at that level, where they can put the team on their back and go win football games in December and in January. And he did that in the playoffs and at the end of the regular season, where the offense was him. It was him. Run game was him. Passing game was him. that was everything that they relied on, was Jaden Daniels, and he took them to an NFC Championship game. So I've seen him play at an incredibly high level. I've seen him be incredibly clutch. In his rookie season, for him to win so many games on the last time he touched the football was spectacular. So, again, I'm sold on Jaden. So if you know I'm criticizing him, understand that it's not me saying that I don't believe that he can still be a really good quarterback. But last season he wasn't as sharp, and I don't think you can argue that really. But I think there's a number of reasons. One of them was the Terry contract thing, which we talked about this a little bit earlier. I heard AWOD finishing his show talking about it. I took a video of Terry signing autographs for fans, and boy, what a difference it makes. You hear Terry, Terry out there at training camp. You heard it last year, but it was last season. It was after practice was finished, and Terry's walking out of the facility, not in pads, but in warm-up gear or whatever he was wearing to sign autographs for the fans after not participating in practice as his kind of silent protest to Adam Peters. This year, he's on the practice field participating, and those cheers are much more joyous to have Terry McLaurin there because he's participating in a part of the team and helping mentor some of the young guys. So that's a big-time change, but that was something that obviously didn't work in Jaden's favor. And I think a big reason why he struggled last season, frankly, is just from watching Jaden. And I don't know if this is 100% true, but this is kind of a theory of mine. He seems to be a rhythm type of player where he's going to get better as time goes on. But he needs to be building on things where when you go back to his rookie season, wasn't great in his first game, started to come on in the second game. Third game is the breakout against Cincinnati. And as the season went on, dealt with the injury against Carolina. But then as he got more comfortable, as time started going on and the season wore on, he started to get into that rhythm where there weren't many people playing at a higher level at the quarterback position than Jaden by the end of the season and into the playoffs. Just the way that he was able to get into that rhythm. And I think that's something he needs week over week over week to get into that rhythm. And last season, he just never had a chance to get into that rhythm. You think about early season, which we'll get back to in just a second, but the injuries, so he's not playing back-to-back games a whole lot, just dealing with the injuries, and when he does, it's not like he can build on 5 weeks in a row, and even if he does come back into the lineup, maybe Terry isn't there. So there was just a lack of continuity for him last season, which I do think is kind of integral for him. But I think a reason why he struggled at the beginning is because of the fact that he needed that rhythm to be established in training camp, and I don't think it ever was. I don't think the intensity, Terry not being there, a myriad of reasons, I don't think that intensity was there to get him ready. So he wasn't in a rhythm to start the season. I think you can see just through 3 days of camp, and there haven't even been padded practices yet, but the intensity has been ratcheted up, not to a stupid level where guys are going to get hurt. They're still going to be taken care of, and that's something that Dan Quinn, I think that's why players really, really like him, is they feel like he does a good job of making sure that they're able to stay healthy. And so, unfortunately, last season didn't really play out that way, but I think that's why a lot of guys respect him, is they feel like he does his best to try to take care of the guys. But there's also something to be said, you got to be ready to play football. And this year, I think they're going to be much more ready to play football, just off of what I've seen through three practices. There's a different style, a different intensity to these training camp practices, and I'm excited to see Monday when the pads go on. How much does that intensity even ratchet up for that? All right, 800-636-1067 if you'd like to chime in. I want to get back to the conversation about the schemes as well. What do you make of these new schemes? Which one are you more excited to see, or which one are you thinking maybe could get off to a slow start? Are you concerned about one? How do you feel about the two new schemes going into this season on the offense and defensive side? Again, 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you on Overtime on The Fan.